Well, thankful for each one that's come out and is able to be here and support the meeting with your presence and your prayers. Need your prayers this morning. The Lord bless His word that He's given us, laid on our hearts, that it would be edifying and a challenge to each one of us. If I were to try to put a title on it, I would maybe say perform the doing of it, or perform the doing. I'd like to start in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Beginning with the first verse. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Like for us to realize a little bit of what Paul was addressing here, the needs of the saints, the needs of other congregations that were in poverty, that were in need, it's always been the way of God's people, hasn't it? Whenever I see my brother in need and in trouble, that as the Lord gives ability, that I give of myself to bear one another's burdens and help care for them in the way that He's given, because all that we have, our lives, all that the Lord has blessed and given us, isn't it really to be His? And isn't it belong to Him to be given to Him and to His service as He sees need? Not to be held on to, not for us to gather in as much as we can to consider it our own, but ye are stewards of what God has given. Every one of us are stewards of what the Lord has put within our care and our responsibility. And I may think sometimes that's not very much. What I have within my hands, there's so little that I can do. Sometimes I look around and I see the needs that are around me and I think, what difference can I make? What impact can I have? Whenever I've gone to India and I've looked out over flying in and I see just throngs of houses, over a billion people in that nation in darkness and in poverty and in need, and they need to hear the gospel. And I think, Lord, what can I do? What can I do among a billion people? But you know, the scripture says there, it's, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that that he hath not. You know, the Lord is looking from every one of us a willingness and a consecration, that I'm willing to give that which I do have to the Lord. That even in the little that I have, that the Lord can count on me to be faithful with it. That I'll take that one talent that He's given me and put it to good use. That I'll spend it wisely, as we heard of our time. And so Paul was addressing here a need of the saints and was commending the congregations of Macedonia. And he says, if you look through this, that they themselves were in distress. You know, it wasn't a matter of convenience. It wasn't a matter because the churches in Macedonia, they just had more money than they knew what to do with. They had more abundance than, well, we don't need it all, and so we'll give the extra to the Lord. You know, that's the way sometimes people serve the Lord. We'll give the Lord the leftovers. We'll give the Lord what's left over. I'm going to spend on everything that I want, as we heard last night, and I'm not preaching a message this morning about giving money. If the Lord touches your heart, the Lord requires that of us, but of our lives, the Lord wants us to have a willingness, a readiness of mind, a willingness that I give not just the leftovers, not just the last, as we heard of time, the last 10 minutes. Lord, it's yours. If I can fit it in somehow into the day, Lord, what's left over, I'll give it to you. But it's said of the congregations there in Macedonia that even in the great trial of their affliction, in their deep poverty, they abounded under riches. They were willing. Remember the widow who gave her 2 mites? And the Lord looked on that and He gave honor unto that. She gave not out of the abundance of her heart, not out of because she had so much, it was just overflowing. It wasn't because she was about to go into the next tax bracket and I can take a tax write-off for this. No, she was given of the very best that she had of her substance to the Lord. So Paul was commending that. And he was dealing here, writing unto the congregation at Corinth. And he's first of all encouraging them and commending them for what they had done and what they were in their faith and their utterance and knowledge and diligence. But he wanted to challenge them. He wanted to provoke them unto good works. He said here that you started to do something a year ago. A year ago, you too saw a need, and you had a willingness to do something about it. You were thinking about it. You looked on it, and perhaps they said, this is something that we want to help with. We see the need here, and it stirs something within me. And I look on that and I say, I want to do something about that. Not only is said, did they have a willingness, but a forwardness. They were also forward a year ago. They began. They put some action into it. That we're going to give unto this need or give unto this work. We see the need. There's a willingness within us. There's a desire to do something about it. And maybe to whatever extent that they talked about it or that they got together and maybe they began to contribute or whatever it was. Paul, he said, you started on it. But now, don't just be willing. You know, it starts with a willingness. It starts with a willingness. You don't get anywhere without a willingness. Paul said, I don't do this by commandment. I'm not coming to you saying, I expect every one of you 10%. The New Testament does not teach tithing in that respect. It doesn't teach you give X percent out of your paycheck. You give it to the Lord. But it teaches out of a willingness, out of a readiness of heart. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And I would encourage all of us, just out of practicality, put the discipline in your life. Lord, I'm going to give you at least this much. Lord, I'm gonna make sure that I set this aside for you. Not as the leftovers, but Lord, this is yours. You come first. I give first unto you. But the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Scripture bears that out. The Lord doesn't want it to be someone knows how much I make in a year and they're standing at the collection plate and they're counting it up and, why, brother, you didn't give quite 10%. No, it's to be out of the willingness of my heart. Out of me giving of what I have because I want to do it. Because I see the need. Because my heart is in this thing. You know, that's what the service of the Lord is. In giving of ourselves in every aspect of our life. Of our money, sure. Of our time, absolutely. Of our talents, a sacrificing of ourselves. The Lord expects first the willingness. A willingness of heart. A willingness of mind.
That's true. Yes.
A consecration. But Paul's message to them, and what I'd like to remind us of as well, now do it. You were willing, you were inclined to do it. You had every intention of doing it. You were inclined that way. Your mind was moved that way. Your heart was inclined that way. You ever have good intentions? I hope so. You won't get very far without them. You won't get very far without first counting the cost. Being willing. First, there's a willingness of mind and of heart. You ever see somebody that you haven't seen before and say, you know, we ought to get together. You know, we ought to go do something together. Sometimes we see friends in other states, camp meeting maybe. You know what would be fun? Let's get our families together and let's go do a camping trip sometime. Let's just do that. You know what we say next year? You know what? We ought to go take a camping trip together sometime. You know what we say next year? Hey, you know what? Remember that camping trip we were talking about? We ought to go do that sometime. You know, that's just the way that it seems like life is. It's more than just a willingness. It's more than just a readiness of mind. More than just saying, I think this would be a good thing. You know, I'd really like to do that. Whenever we hear a message go forth, whenever we hear we're sitting in a meeting and the Lord stirs us, you know, in like manner, it can be easy for us to say, you know, I'd like to measure up to that. You know, I'd really like to be there. I'd really like to have that kind of faith. You know, I'd really like to be that close to the Lord. You know, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to strive for that. But do you know no battle was ever won just by good intentions? No battle was ever won by sitting down and thinking, you know what, it sure be nice to oust this dictator. It sure be nice to be able to overcome the city of Jericho. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? Look at that city over there. Oh, I'd love to be able to take that city. I want to take that city. You know what it required? First, a willingness. Second, a consecration. Then I'm going to give myself to the Lord. I'm going to give what I have to the Lord. But then it required putting feet to it. You know, the Lord wants us to put feet to our prayers. The Lord wants us not only to have a readiness of mind, not only, oh, it starts there, that the Lord could stir our hearts, that the Lord could, we allow the Lord to work with our hearts, to till up the fallow ground, to stir me, to realize there's a need here. There's something that I need to take care of. You know, we really ought to do that. But I want to stir us this morning that the Lord would challenge us so we not be as the ones that say, let's go camping sometime. Oh, that's good to be able to do that. But how much more important the needs of our soul? That I not just go from Sunday to Sunday, from meeting to meeting and say, you know, I'd really like to do something about that. You know, I'd really like to, oh, I wish I could be as spiritual as this brother. First of all, we don't compare ourselves among ourselves, but that there be a desire within us, thank you. A desire to be able to say, I want it. I see it. Remember Caleb as he came back into the promised land, he was 85 years old. He said, I want that city. I want to take that mountain. But he didn't just stop with wanting to. He did it. You know, that's what the Lord is looking for every one of us. Paul said, in my words, I appreciate your willingness. I'm not coming to you demanding this of you. The Lord's not demanding it, holding an iron rod over you, saying you're going to give this or else. But do you feel something stirring within you? Remember, if you read back in the building of the tabernacle, whenever the need was, the cry was put out to build the tabernacle, we need these materials. It says the people, their hearts stirred within them. And they had because of that. It wasn't because of a man saying, folks, we got to give, we got to donate here and trying to drum up support. You know, that's what a lot of the church world is about today. It's about trying to get a service and trying to drum up support and trying to rally and move everybody's hearts. But you know the model here that Paul gave? I'm not lording this over you. But if the Lord stirs your heart, then act on it. That's how the church of God works. By the Lord moving upon hearts. By the Lord stirring and moving. By Holy Spirit leadership. But you know that only works when we're willing to act upon it. Yeah. Whenever I'm willing not to just stop with good intentions. But Lord, I want to do something about it. And sometimes the Lord has to come back and say, remember a year ago? Remember last camp meeting you looked at this place in your life and you said, I want to do something about it. That willingness that you had a year ago, now it's time to do something about it. We heard last night, there's time now. Now's the time. Now's the accepted time. But what we'll do if we're not careful, we'll go throughout our entire lives saying we ought to go camping. Saying we ought to take care of this thing. You know, I wish I was the ones that we look at that are spiritual men and women of great faith. You know they didn't get there by saying, I wish I had great faith. They got there by desiring it. By living it, by being willing to fight for it. Are we willing to put our all into it? More than convenience. More than just a feeling that stirs us, that I think in my mind. You know, it's one reason why we put altar benches and make it available to pray. Because when the Lord stirs your heart, whenever the Lord challenges you, the Lord shows you you have a need. You know, there's no better time to take care of it than when the Lord shows you the need. It can be so easy, and I've done it before. I can remember times that I would resist, and I'd feel the Spirit drawing me in an altar call, and I'd say, I'll pray about it when I get home. And I'm not saying you can't pray at home. You better be praying at home. But whenever the Lord dealt with my heart and showed me a specific need and moved me to go and to deal with it and take care of it, whenever I said, you know, I'm going to really try to do better about this. I'm going to try to pray about this later. And I so often find I get home and my mind is distracted and other things come up and somehow that moving isn't quite still there. You know, a year later that feeling might not have been the same for the Corinthians. But you started. What you started, be willing to carry through. Be willing to carry all the way through to completion. Jesus is the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. Let us then go on unto perfection. Yes. Better is the end of a thing, Scripture says, than the beginning thereof. Oh, it's so good to have a zeal and a desire, a want to help. Whenever you have a need and the congregation or the saints are excited about it and they want to help and they want to contribute to it, oh, that's good. But whenever the going gets tough, whenever months and years into this thing, who's still standing by it? Lord, help us so we not only will, but we perform the doing of it. The Lord has always been more interested in our actions than our words. In our actions than our intentions. We've heard the saying, the pathway to hell is paved with what? With intentions. It's paved with good intentions. I mean to. One of these days I'm going to. Don't put it off. Whenever the Lord moves upon your heart to take care of an area in your life, to do something, to give of yourself to Him, don't put it off. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of the time right now. That I want not only to have a willingness, not only a mind that's inclined to do it, but I want to act upon it. Jesus said of those that followed Him, that if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. There are many that can say, I love the Lord. There are many that can give lip service to it, and many did. We want to follow the Lord. We want to be a disciple. Well, sure we do. He feeds us. He gives. He heals our children. I want not only a willingness, but whenever it comes down to it, remember what Isaiah, the first chapter in the 19th verse says, if ye be willing, ye shall eat the good of the land. If ye be willing and obedient. If you have a willingness of heart, a compliance to the Lord, Lord, I want to do this. I want to please You. I want to give of myself. but also then an obedience to it. Now, Lord, I'm going to move out upon it. I'm going to put action to it. Then you'll be able to eat of the good of the land. Oh, there's more than words. There's more than a willingness. Lord, I want to demonstrate. And Paul said here to prove the sincerity of your love. I want to see now if you mean it. I want to see now. I know you were willing, but I want to see how willing you are. The Lord, I believe, is testing every one of us. I want to see just how badly you desire this, because I have it for you. But you have to be willing and you have to be obedient to receive it. Let us not, 1 John 3:18 says, let us not love in word or by tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us put action to it beyond just words. In the work environment, they have what they call a say-do ratio. And they talk about it with managers. A lot of times a new manager will come into an area, maybe a supervisor in the shop, and he'll have all kinds of ideas. Hey, let's change this and let's do this, and I want you to do that, and maybe, you know what, I'm going to take care of this for you. He says a lot. He has a lot of good intentions. But many times I've found that people are standing back to watch. I've heard it all. I've heard him say before, I've seen others that have come and gone. I've seen others that have come and had all kinds of ideas, and after a little while, those ideas fizzled out. The ideas that you have, they'll fizzle out too. And so the challenge is that they put to leaders in the business world, what is your say-do ratio? In other words, of all that you say, how much of it do you really do? And I want to challenge us with that question today. When it comes to living for the Lord, when it comes to the purposes that I make for the Lord, the intentions that I give to the Lord, how much of it do we really do? Are there places in our lives that I've said, Lord, I mean to. Lord, I want to. Are we doing it? Are we following through on that? Or is it still an intention that hasn't borne fruit? I'd like to look at Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, Paul spoke of the Macedonians that he said, even beyond their power, they gave. Beyond what I'm able to do. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the glory may be of God and not of us. It wasn't of that young boy that brought the loaves and fishes that fed the 5,000. But it was the Lord that He gave it to. That He gave of a willingness and an obedience. Not only saying, Lord, I'd give this to You if I thought it'd actually do something. I'm willing. But since it's not going to do anything, I'm just going to go ahead and eat it myself. I don't want to spend my life that way. Lord, I give of myself. And I ask You to give the abundance. I ask You, in those giants in my life, Lord, I don't know how to do it. I don't see how I can take this city. But one thing I know, I'm willing. I want to take the city. I'm willing to fight for it. And Lord, I'm going to move out step by step in obedience to what You show. It is God that works in us, saints, to will, to have a willingness, but also to do it. It is God that works in us to will and to do what His good pleasure is. Psalms, the 50th chapter. I want to look at a thought here that's seen many times throughout the Psalms. Psalms 50:14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You know, vows are something that this world takes far too lightly. It's something that this world is far too ready to strike hands and to make a deal or to make an agreement, and it doesn't mean what it seems like it used to. A man's word, it seems like it's so easy to be able to find a loophole or just dismiss it. I can say, I'll do this, or I can tell you one thing, and then I turn around and renege on it. But God doesn't look at a vow that way. He doesn't look at Jephthah as an example. Whenever he made a vow unto the Lord, defer not to pay it. The man that vows and swears to his own hurt, but he doesn't change. I'm going to stick by the vow that I made. I'm going to follow through with it. You know, the Lord is looking for us to make some vows. Oh, in our world that takes vows so lightly, that so easily cast aside the commitments and responsibilities that they have. You know what else the world then is trying to do? Marriage, for example. Well, let's just not get married. Let's just not make the commitment then. We'll live together. We'll try this out. But we'll never get married, and then we'll never have that obligation. You know, that's not the Lord's plan either. The Lord's plan is for us to do so in the will of God. To do so and to be willing to give my vow unto Him. In the sanctity of marriage, in the things that I give of myself to, I make a vow before the Lord, and it's binding in heaven and in earth for life. The Lord doesn't dismiss that vow that I make. But oh Lord, help us that we not in our lives then think, because the Lord requires us to pay our vows, well, I just won't make any vows. I'm just not going to make any commitments to the Lord. I'm just not going to say that I'll do anything then, and I won't be held to it. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Come before the Lord. You know that's part of what we do when we come and worship the Lord. I renew, I give my commitment and my vows unto Him. Lord, I give myself to You. Lord, I purpose to take care of this, to do this. Yes, Lord, I'll obey You. You know those are vows? Those are commitments. Pay your vows unto the Most High. The Lord is looking for us to pay some vows. So on the heels of that, I'd like to look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter. The 4th verse. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. You know what the word defer means? When you vow a vow before the Lord, don't defer to pay it. It indicates a procrastination. Don't be slothful about it. Don't put it off. Don't be slack concerning your promise. The Lord's not slack concerning His promises. So Lord, help me that I not be slack concerning mine. The vows and the intentions, the purposes of my heart that I give unto the Lord, that I offer to Him. Don't procrastinate about it. You know, people, you ever hear of a bucket list? Do you have a bucket list? I don't know, maybe you do. Things that you want before I die, I'd like to skydive, not me. But people say, before I die, I've got to check that off the list before I die. You know, people spiritually live their lives that way. Before I die, I need to take care of this. And I've seen people that come down and realize, and the seriousness hits them, I'm about to cross over into eternity here. I've got unfinished business. Call this one in. Call that one. I've got to take care of this. I've got to make this right. And well, you should do that. But you know how much better it is to defer not to pay it? Whenever there's something that I realize my brother has ought against me, Lord, I'm going to take care of that thing. That I don't just live my life deferring, procrastinating. Maybe there'll be another time. Maybe there'll be another meeting. Maybe the Lord will deal with me again about this thing, and then I'll take care of it. Do we have a willingness and a readiness to perform it? That I'm not only going to vow to the Lord, but Lord, I'm going to vow to You, and by Your grace, I'm going to pay it. I'm going to take care of it, because now is the time. Now is the accepted time. In this meeting, this year, there's no better time than to take care of the needs that I have. The purposes that maybe for years I've thought in my mind, I really want to be this. I'm not satisfied with who I am before the Lord. There's something here that's clouding my testimony. There's something here that's obstructing the way. If I were to die, I'd really want to make sure I take care of that. You know, there's no better time than now. There's no better time than in this meeting to say, Lord, I got some things I need to take care of. Lord, I'm done waiting. I'm done putting it off. I'm done procrastinating, Lord. I come to You and I want to take care of this. I'm coming to pay up. Have You made some vows to the Lord? Let's pay Him. Let's come before the Lord and say, Lord, it's paying up time. I want to come, the things that I promised You, Lord, I want to pay it to You now. I want to perform the doing of it. I've had a readiness and a willingness, but Lord, I want to be more than a hearer. Remember what James spoke about? James, the first chapter. He said, be ye doers of the word, 22nd verse, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know what good intentions can do for us? They can appease my conscience. They can make me feel better about myself. You know what? Yes, that stirred me. Lord, I hear You. Lord, I feel You calling here. I realize You're dealing with this. Yes, Lord, that's true. And people sometimes will even say, brother, that's truth that you preach. I may not be living to it, but I recognize, yes, that's true. I acknowledge that, and that's good. But you know, the Lord wants us to not only be a hearer of it. There's a danger in being in that kind of place. That I recognize, yes, that's true. No, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm going to do something about it. You go from there, and He said, and first of all, the purpose, the intention that I'm going to do something about it, it makes me feel as if I have done something about it. And if I allow that to substitute my actions, my intention to do better, oh Lord, that was good. Oh, that stirred, Lord, I'm going to do better about that. And I never move it beyond that. I never get down on my knees. I never fight the battle. I never pay the price to actually get a hold of it. You know, I'll go through life and I'll have just a shallow surface, something that never really gets me to where the Lord wants me to be. The Lord wants us to do more than hear. More than just respond with, yes, that's good. But to act on it. Because to do otherwise is to deceive myself. To get me into a place to think, Lord, You know my heart. Lord, You know I want to do right. Lord, You know I want to go to heaven. That's good. I hope every one of us here today wants to go to heaven. I hope we want to please the Lord. But you know, the Lord's looking for more than want to. The Lord's looking for a willingness and an obedience. If You love me, don't just tell me, but keep my commandments. The things that I've asked of You to do, measure up in obedience to those. For it is God that wants to work in every one of us. It is God that is willing to work in us. You know, I've often said when the Lord deals with us, it's one of the most blessed things there is. Conviction on our hearts. Whenever the Lord shows me I'm not measured up. You know, it's not for the purpose of condemnation. It's not for the purpose of crushing us down as the enemy would like to do. But it is to say, will You come? Will You take care of it? Because the reason I'm dealing with You about it is because I have the answer. I have what You're looking for. It is God that works in you. I'll make it possible. I'll give You the cities. I'll give You the land. If You're willing and You're obedient, You're willing to pay the price, You're willing to give of Yourself, not just when it's convenient, Not just when I'm in camp meeting season. But I'm going to go from here and I'm going to purpose. I pay the price. Lord, I'm going to pay it. I'm going to do it. Lord, help us this morning that we have not only a willingness, but that we perform the doing. You pray for me. Amen.